Yep.
What's up, 50K? Long time.
How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good, good. How's everything going for you?
Doing all right, maintaining, you know. What we talking about today?
Talking about the free agency.
Okay. But what we starting with?
Let me see. How did you feel about LeBron James end up going to L.A.?
I mean, I'm not mad. You know, shit, everybody taking moves. They got to do what they got to do. As far as his, to be honest, I think it was just like a childhood decision more than anything. You know what I'm saying? You know, I like, what's that team that you always wanted to play for as a kid? So he probably already had the one team off his checklist. Of course, the Cleveland Cavaliers, you know what I mean? But he probably been a Lakers, Kobe, you know, Shaq and Magic fan for a long time. So, you know, at this point in his career, you know, it makes sense for him. I'm talking hypothetical right now. You know what I'm saying? At this point, you know, most likely it probably makes sense for him, just, you know, his childhood decision. And then as far as setting up, you know, for his children, you know, of course, California, that's the land of dreams. And then, yeah. You know, supposedly his wife has, you know, ventures, and he has business ventures out in L.A. too. So,
oh yeah,
you know, it's a chess move, you know.
Yeah, it's gonna be a chess move, like far as talking about it and everything else. To me, I say it's a good move and everything else. You know, he just gotta end up getting some pieces to end up to get him somewhere. Which now, since he's in L.A., now the Lakers are relevant. At first, they wasn't relevant after they went 35-47 just last season. Now, I think they're going to be relevant this year and everything else. And I think they might win about 50 games. That's all I'm going to give them.
Oh, yeah. Nah, I ain't saying nothing magical going to happen. But, you know, you never know at the same time, too, because, you know, with the people that they have, they do have an opportunity to get kind of far as, like, you know, veterans. Even though the veterans like Rondo or Rondo and Stevenson,
JaVale McGee, and, you know, the list goes on and on. List goes on and on and everything else. So
with smart basketball minds, Rondo, that's an automatic. That's gonna put you a little bit further. He may not put up points like that. Like me personally, I don't really like Rondo. You know what I'm saying? But I do know that he's smart, and I do know that he knows how to, you know, accentuate his other things he can't do. So if his defense may not be all the way there, or his offense may not be over there all the way there, he knows how to get into, you know, a player's mind and stuff like that. Obviously, you know what's happened with him before in LeBron. So,
yeah, even though I would say it like this, even though that these two end up went backwards and forth throughout the process of all the years, throughout the East and everything else, now this is the first time, even though Rondo, because I know Rondo normally said in his earlier careers that he said he hated the Lakers at that time, right then and there. Now that you are a Laker, now you're going to be in purple and gold, or should I say gold and purple, you're going to be you're a point guard. Well, it all depends on what's going to happen with Lonzo Ball and everything else. But
that's a fact.
But you know me, I'm gonna leave that subject up to another time. I'm gonna hit you with another segment here. Is how you feel about where you think Kyrie Irving should go? Should he stay in Boston, where Boston is getting these attractive pieces? Because I know Gordon Hayward is coming back next season after he didn't get his actual season debut and all that. Should Kyrie Irving stay, or should he go to the New York Knicks? And I'm also in a pin other name. I'm also in another name like Jimmy Butler, saying that he's going to leave the Minnesota Timberwolves because him and Andre Wiggins they're not working out. They're not working out together.
Who's leaving?
Jimmy Butler, aka Jimmy Buckets.
Yeah, he's supposed to be linking up with Kyrie.
Yeah, he's supposed to be linking up with Kyrie and trying to see if these two go off to New York to go play with Kristaps Porzingis.
I think that would be nice. I think that'd be a nice little look. I also think, I mean, personally, with in Kyrie's situation, I don't think he should move around again. I think he should stay there and try to see if it gels, because he didn't even give it a chance to gel at first. I think if he runs, it's going to make – even though it may not be the case where he's actually
– Because –
They're gonna, you know what I'm saying? They're gonna try to make him seem like he's a nomad, or like he has like a shaky mentality, or you know, you can't put too much into him, and then they're gonna try to, you know, put that the narrative that, you know,
yeah,
he's not worth all the millions that the companies are trying to give to him,
because right.
you never know when he's gonna bail out. You know what I'm saying? So with that being said, I think he should stay in Boston, and with his ties as far as like his family and his, because I think his family is from Boston, like his mom and his dad, or they played there or something like that.
I think his parents and them, you know, they played up there.
Yeah, I think like in college or something like that. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. It's some type of family tie in Boston, and I think Boston fits him more, just the city itself, and it has a lot of components, and he's already been there with those components early. It's not like he's adding on. It's not like they adding on. He still has a chance to actually gel and mix himself in the pot, and then become that same Kyrie that we knew before, to be better than everybody on the team, whether it's Gordon Hayward, whether it's the young bull from Duke or whatever.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, but you talk about Jason Tatum.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, smart. Yeah, I mean, like, Kyrie still has a chance to still solidify himself over everybody else. You know what I mean? If he keeps going and running, it's going to seem like he doesn't want to be overshadowed. He just wants the spotlight on him or whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can't rise to the top.
But here's the thing about Kyrie, and I understand how Kyrie Irving is and everything else. And I understand the decision that he had made, he wanted to be his own man. He wanted to start his own legacy and everything else. But in the rise of the occasion, if it wasn't for LBJ, he wouldn't go to three consecutive finals talking about it. If he'd have never went to these three finals, in these appearances and only went one and lost two of them. Well, I couldn't count the 2015 on him because he went down on injury and everything else. So I really couldn't count that on him. But 2016, he came with a vengeance in his mind. Came up with a vengeance. He was averaging 27, which is him and LeBron. Both of them dropped 41 together. When they beat Golden State, I think game 5, beat them in game 5, 6, and 7. So thinking, they say, you know what? We coming back in the series. And when LBJ, when they lost to him, I said last year, just before when LeBron lost it this year, last year LeBron said that they was going back. And he really meant that and said that they was going back, but that was that time when he said that he ain't want to be a part of this now. And the Boston Celtics was that close. The Boston Celtics was that close of going to the NBA Finals without Kyrie Irving and without Gordon Hayward. They almost made it. They almost made it and almost dethroned LeBron out. They almost made it.
They did.
They almost. But it all determines what the Celtics are going to do with Kyrie. We already know Jimmy Butler's going to be gone because Tom Thibodeau, he's doing too much. He's doing too much. Plus, you try to be a coach and president of basketball operations. That's not going to work for him. That ain't going to work. It's either you're going to be the president of basketball operations or you're going to coach. You got to do either or. Just like Brett Brown right now. Like right now, like Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard pretty much got like about one more year left with San Antonio because he got to be unrestricted free agent next season. And to be honest with you, 50K, you got to understand something. Somebody got to give me to understand this right quick. And I'm going to ask you this question.
And I know Philadelphia was really good. They did real good this year. And I'm going to say it like this. I'm going to say it looks like we got a new rivalry in the Eastern Conference. It's going to be the Sixers and the Celtics. These two are going to go toe-for-toe for the next 5 to 10 years. These two are going to go toe-for-toe. But let me ask you this. But let me ask you this real, real question. It's only in your own opinion. Since when the Philadelphia 76ers ever made Ben Simmons the number one option as a point guard? Do you think? That's one question. Second, did you think that Donovan Mitchell and the guy robbed out of Rookie of the Year over Ben Simmons, even though Ben Simmons had to miss 2 seasons with injuries?
Yeah. Well, the first question that you got to ask it again is what you said. Should they make him as their primary point guard?
Since when did the Philadelphia 76ers made him as a number one optional player as a point guard? That's one question. And it's only in your opinion how you won't go with it. Second, did Donovan Mitchell get robbed out of Rookie of the Year over Ben Simmons for Ben Simmons to be out 2 years and count him as a rookie?
Well, I mean, he got robbed because it was, you know, it technically wasn't a rookie. And yes! I mean, he wasn't even rookie of the year because he didn't do as much for his team as
he did. That's the thing about
you
it.
Like, you know, he didn't do as much.
When I looked at this 50, you have to look at this.
So I'll leave
Ben Simmons missed 2 consecutive seasons. The NBA don't calibrate that. They used to calibrate that and don't allow that person to end up the win Rookie of the Year. They should have had somebody else in that runner-up with him. Because me, Ben Simmons, just because of stat numbers, that don't mean anything. It might mean something, but it all determined leadership, body work, and everything else. But I know I leave that up to most valuable player and everything else, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. I leave that up to them. But when it comes down to your availability, you coming down when the game's on the line and everything else, the way you see Donovan Mitchell and the way I see Ben Simmons play, don't get me wrong, Ben Simmons can't make flash plays and everything else, but don't have a jump shot. Only thing he's good at is driving to the lane. It's like him driving to the lane. It's like Dennis Antetokounmpo can drive to the lane and score.
Yeah.
But the way you see Donovan Mitchell plays, when you see Donovan Mitchell play, Donovan Mitchell can go in the lane. He can shoot. He can play defense. He can do it all. That man can do it all.
Donovan Mitchell is nice.
That dude was balling. And I had him for Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I thought he was going to get Rookie of the Year, too. I don't know why he didn't. I mean, in all honesty, like, with this situation with Ben Simmons, he really should have he shouldn't have got it, but I think they gave it to him just because of how his – I'm not even going to say all-around game because he doesn't have a jump shot, but just how he did make that move smoother. Like, Donovan Mitchell, even when Donovan Mitchell was on the court, he did a lot, and he made a lot of, you know, he made a lot happen. But they still had other players besides him. They had, you know, Ricky Rubio, Joe Ingles went off, you know what I'm saying, Rudy Gobert. Like, a lot of them, they actually, you could still get a few numbers when he was on the bench. But with that being said, he also took them to the playoffs. And then when they got into the playoffs, like, if you watched some of the games when they were in the playoffs, I think it was specifically when they was playing Houston. There was not saying that they took this into account, because I mean you can't take it into account because he made it further in the playoffs than Ben Simmons did. But in the playoffs, when he did make it further than Ben Simmons, and they played against the Houston Rockets, there were a few games where he was absent, where you didn't know where he was or what he was doing. He was putting up numbers, but it just wasn't the same Donovan Mitchell. But in his defense, it was because there were other people in those games, specifically Joe Ingles, who went off for like two games straight, and he was just shooting threes on everybody. He got Trevor Ariza in technical foul. He got Chris Paul pissed off. It was all, you see what I'm saying? But, you know, with all that being said, yes, definitely, Donovan Mitchell should have won the rookie.
That was, and there you go. That's the case right then and there. In my case, in my thought, in my mind was, you know, you have to, it's like most people have to feel to realize that the NBA does not calibrate or elaborate how the situation goes down. You allowing the player to end up the Wendy Award all because of fans, and us as fans should take the ultimate initiative and just be like, I don't think this person should end up towards win rookie of the year all because the two seasons he did not play. He did not play these first two seasons, and he came in on his third year. He came in as a third year, but you're counting him as a rookie there. It doesn't, it wasn't supposed to work like that. That's like a violation to the NBA rule here. But the NBA really does not care. It don't even matter if you miss four consecutive seasons and they still gonna count you as a first year rookie. But yeah, everybody said this. Everybody's, and I'm gonna say it like this because I was on Bleacher's Report today. I was on Bleacher's Report today saying that the five realistic players that shouldn't go to this team. Now, the last person they said who should go to this team is Kawhi Leonard. Why? Because in 2016-17 season, Kawhi Leonard had one of his best shooting form percentages. The man shot 43% on the catch and shoot attempts. Everything else would like,
I don't think when Kawhi Leonard he comes back, he's gonna be the same. I really don't.
Well, he should be because you know, everybody knew, and I'm gonna say it like this, everybody knew that Sasha Pachulia played this dirty on him. Cause everybody knew what was gonna happen to Golden State. That's how Golden State got away with murder. Okay, I'm not lying about
it. I mean, I'm not going to lie.
Golden State was going to get humiliated either way it goes because Kawhi Leonard was about to send Kevin Durant under the ground. He was about to send him straight under the narrow of the ground right then and there because Kawhi Leonard was playing sensational defense. He plays a sensual defense. What was Kevin Durant was doing? Kevin Durant couldn't even get a jump basket out of him. Do you think Kawhi Leonard was playing substantial defense or Kevin Durant wasn't doing nothing on offense?
I mean, I'm not going to lie, man. I'm going to be biased regardless because I'm a Golden State fan. I've been a Golden State fan my whole life. But with that being said, I really don't understand the whole narrative if a player is gonna come back the same. I understand like Kawhi Leonard, he definitely did have Kevin Durant on lock. You know what I'm saying? But
that's who Kevin Durant's kryptonite is.
I mean, that's just like you could say that's the same thing about LeBron too. But like I was saying, I don't think that Kawhi Leonard is gonna come back and be the same because of the simple fact I don't know what's been going on. You could say whatever about the injuries or whatever else and, you know, not wanting to be with the Spurs or whatever, but I honestly don't feel like his mental's there, man. I don't think his mental's there at all, and I don't think he's going to come back the same Kawhi like everybody think he's going to be. I think he wants to go somewhere and just go ahead and ball. He doesn't want to be on a team like the Lakers. That's why, like they said, he wants to be a Clipper instead of a Laker. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's little stuff like that where I don't know, like,
Here's the issue. The Los Angeles Clippers have to rebuild. And here's why I said this is going to be a real issue for Kawhi. And I understand Kawhi wants to lead his own team. He wants to lead the way to whatever his own standard is. But here's the observation. Here's the issue. The real issue is with Doc Rivers being president of basketball operations and the head coach, Where's he going to find a point guard at? Where's he going to find a point guard? Oh, a person who's going to play the four, who's going to play the three, who's going to play the two? But your Kawhi is going pretty much going to play the three. And to top it all off, you have to feel to realize Kawhi can't regulate everything himself. Because if he was, he will have everything that he got. What Doc Rivers can end up with it did if Kawhi comes there? What is he literally going to do with that situation? Because the reality of the situation, if you heard my last podcast show, which I ridiculously went off last night about everything else here, everybody is going to learn to stop taking some type or start taking some type of initiative because a reality says, as of right now, you don't in the tours don't think that Kawhi Leonard should in the tours be a top-tier superstar, a man who's in the one defensive player of the year, two times in the doggone row, who won two NBA championships and was named finals MVP for locking down LeBron James throughout that whole atmosphere in the revenge redemption to beat LeBron for whichever reason. Why is most people all thinking he going to go to the Clippers and they'll have a freaking team and they just hit the reset button? You think Kawhi Leonard is just going to go up to the Clippers because they don't have a point guard? DeAndre Jordan has left. Blake Griffin has been gone already. Paul has been gone. The Los Angeles Clippers are automatically not irrelevant. Do not bring Kawhi Leonard up there because it ain't going to make no sense. The Clippers are not going to make the playoffs if they already hit the reset button. That team has automatically has blown up. That's dead.
Are you a Kawhi fan? Are you like Kawhi advocate?
Am I a Kawhi advocate? I've been and the tour's been on Kawhi. I've been on every superstar player. I done been on Melo side. I done watched every superstar fan.
So where do you think he's gonna
Melo?
No, Kawhi.
He got to go somewhere because really he's not gonna go that far with the Clippers. Because literally, the Clippers already then hit the reset mode, and they done blew up. What more than the Los Angeles Clippers can get out the situation? You expect Kawhi Leonard to score 20 plus points in each of those 82 games out the whole season, and he don't have a team.
You think he's gonna come back and be the same?
Yes. Because that was the case in point. Kawhi Leonard only played no more than 9 games this year. 9 or 10 games out of the 72. And everybody said, medical staff said that he was clear to play, but he chose not to play because he was going by what his doctors and them were saying in New York. He wanted to make sure he got clear confirmed from his own doctor to say he was clear enough to play. That was it from far on standard on clout here. That man wanted to stand on his own confirmed stats, saying, I'm not going to play until my doctor gives me a confirmed to say I can play. He's not worrying about medical training staffs to say that he's clear to play. He wants to make sure his doctors is confirmed by him.
What was his injury?
Well, let me see. I think he might have went down some type of either on the Achilles tendons or an ankle injury. I'm not sure. I really don't remember so much of it. I think it was an Achilles because the way how Zaza Pachulia landed on him in last year's playoff run before Kevin Durant joined the Golden State Warriors, that time he jumped on him when Kawhi was about to make a three-point shot, which I believe Kawhi made the shot. And Zaza Pachulia jumped onto him, run him down towards on that leg, knowing the referees didn't call a foul. Do you don't think that play was actually automatically dirty on Zaza Pachulia?
I don't think it was because of the simple fact, like you said he ran down on him.
Yes, he ran down on him. That is an intentional play.
He shot the ball, and literally as he was shooting. He backed up and was looking at him. He didn't jump. Now when Zaza
when he put, like, came down and made
wait, hold on. When Zaza when Zaza his elbow into Russell Westbrook's leg. Now that was a dirty play. You get what I'm saying? That was clear dirty play. Zaza jumped in the air when Kawhi was
and
shooting, had his hands in it. He didn't even, matter of fact, he didn't even jump. He literally just stood. He didn't even come off of his feet. But because you're not supposed to be in a shooter's space when they land, that's why it's called a foul. But he didn't, come on, man. It's not like he did.
50K, come on.
I'm admitting Zaza does do dirty things, like when he did that to Russell Westbrook. But that play with Kawhi Leonard was not dirty, man.
That was. You didn't see the replays, didn't you? If you see replays.
I saw all of the replays. I was watching it. Yo, like literally.
He went out on that man's ankle and leg all at one time. Everybody knew that. Referees saw him and they let him run.
No, he didn't. Kawhi Leonard, the reason why Kawhi Leonard hurt himself is because he landed on Zaza. Look back at the replays. Zaza was coming at him. When he came at him, he put his hands.
I didn't see the play over 150 to 200. I didn't see the play 150.
Literally, I wish we was in the same room right now so we could record it. He literally, that's the reason why it was a foul, is because Zaza Pachulia landed in Kawhi's landing space of his jump shot. So because he landed in his space of his jump shot, Kawhi Leonard landed on his, like, the side of his leg, his shoe. When he landed on the side of his leg, his shoe, his foot twisted. When his foot twisted, he fell back. That's when he grabbed it. Zaza didn't jump on him like he jumped on Russell Westbrook. Come on, man.
So you end up just going to let Zaza Pachulia go ahead and be an intentional dirty player who gets away?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all.
You're defending the man then.
What I'm saying is with that play wasn't a dirty play. It was a simple play that's twisted because of the rules and how everything goes, where you can't be in a shooter space. Nowadays, you can't be in a shooter space at all.
He came to the shooter when the time Kawhi was attempting the shot, he came to him no closer than 2.5 feet. He was right in close up front, close range. When he came up close and personal range, he fell to him. He literally fell into him. And once you would have saw he fell into him, that's how you know Kawhi ended up went down on that injury all over.
Well, regardless of whether he fell into him or not. Hey, you know, it's tomato, tomato. It is what it is. Championships happen after that, and then people get upset. And then now it's like Kawhi Leonard is going to be, you know, the comeback savior to stop the Golden State Warriors. He's not going to come back the same person. He's going to come back the shell of himself. His mind is not there. I'm telling you, man, if that dude was really about playing basketball and he was really ready to be like, you know, I'm going to get it over with right now, he could go to any team in the world. He could go and join up with the Lakers and be with LeBron. He could go back over to the East End. He could be on the same team in Detroit. You want to go to a regular team? Okay, go to a regular team. Go with Detroit with Blake Griffin. He has so many choices where he can choose somewhere to go to be like, you know what? I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to do this some more. I just want to play basketball. That man don't want to play basketball, man. He want to sit and hide out and do whatever he's doing. He probably going to come back 40 pounds overweight and anything else because ain't nobody even seen him. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, man. It happens to people. Some people, like you said, he has championships. He has defensive. I'm not taking none of that away from him. He that nigga, like, hands down. Like, when he was in the league, he definitely was. There was nothing you could do to stop Kawhi Leonard when he was in the league. Like, he was a Duncan mixed with Kobe Bryant type shit. You know what I'm saying? A beautiful mind, very smart, all of that. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, it's been a while. And for me, I don't care if it was Curry or if it was Kawhi. If you've been gone for a year, year and a half, and I don't know where your mind at, and you not talking, you not practicing, you not picking teams, you not doing nothing, I'm writing you off, man. I'm writing you off. You a nutcase.
So despite a Kawhi Leonard situation, what team do you think he should and suggest to go?
Who, Kawhi?
Yes.
I mean, like I said, I honestly think he just has to, you know, pick and choose. Like, first off, I think he's a person that's like, I don't want to be
Because he already said he don't want to be in San Antonio.
But, I mean, obviously, he don't want to be in San Antonio. You know what I'm saying? But I don't think he wants to be in the spotlight. But at the same time, you know, he's a baller. You know what I'm saying? So he don't want to be on no scrub team where it's like everybody is dependent on him. You know what I mean? And also because of how his demeanor is right now with this whole situation, I don't think he's really headstrong like that. You know what I mean? I think he's just a beautiful mind, and he go out there and he ball. Give him a basketball, that's all he know. He going to put in work. But, like, if you was to talk to him in the street and you know what I'm saying? Like, he'd be one of them niggas, you could be like, man, shut the fuck up. Go in there and buy me some soda. Like, you know what I'm saying? And he going to get up and be like, all right, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think he's that type of person where it's going to be like, man, fuck you. You go buy the soda. I'm not buying no soda. You know what I'm saying? Like, he doesn't seem like he a headstrong person like that, bro. Like, he just seemed like he'd just be like, okay, you know what I mean? So, with that being said, like, I think he has to go somewhere where he's going to be comfortable. I would like him somewhere, you know, I would like him to stay in the West, but if he wants to go to the East, okay, go ahead in the East. Then I would just pick whatever teams. Now, if I was to say, like, Miami, he could Miami, that's a nice little team he could be down there. There's a lot of people that's, you know, this grinder that's trying to get it in that he's going to be able to work with. Or you could go all the way up the mat to, like I said, to Detroit. You know what I'm saying? Him and Blake Griffin, they might be a good tandem. You never know. You know what I mean? Now, those are two different spots. Now, Miami's a little bit higher, you know, higher profile than Detroit, you know what I'm saying? So maybe he might want to stay in Detroit, you know, Motor City, blue collar family, you know, all the things that could go with it. But then at the same time, I'm like, shit, he should do a good trade to Boston. Why not do a good trade, go somewhere to Boston, it'd be you, Kyrie, and whoever else, and y'all go ahead and y'all attack the Golden State Warriors, you know what I'm saying?
But 50K. Whatever you're saying is right now, everything you're saying is absolutely correct. But the only issue with Golden State is, as of right now, the only observation that for Boston right now, Danny Ainge don't like to spend money like that. I know he do, but he already ended up giving that huge contract negotiation like that to Gordon Hayward like that for the next 4 years. He didn't give that up. He's now looking forwardly to end up on the verge of spending money like that. Unless he has to get rid of at least two players in a first-round draft pick like that to San Antonio in order for them to happen like that, because you would have had Kyrie, you would have had Gordon Hayward, Kawhi Leonard, who's playing the three at the wingspan right then and there. You got Aaron Baines, and you end up toward, well, then you got Al Horford. Then you would have got Aaron Baines right then and there. But the only issue is you would have to give up two players. You would have to give up Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, in order for that to happen right then and there, and give up at least a first-round pick to San Antonio to make that observation to happen. Now, Detroit, on the other hand, Detroit really literally do need a wingspan. They need at least a third player. They need a third player, and they need a point guard. So, because I think Reggie Jackson right now, I'm saying to me, in my only obligation, Reggie Jackson is he's outdated. You know, and I know, both of us know, he is strictly outdated for bull crap. Because the way how Reggie Jackson played throughout all these years, Reggie Jackson has been blasphemous since the Oklahoma City days.
You?
So that's the case in the point right then and there. Now, for whichever reason, which is, we can jump to the next subject. Where do you think Damian Lillard is going to end up going to go at if for Portland Trailblazers ever trade him? Where do you think he's going? To the Knicks or the Lakers? You're talking about Dame Dollars.
When is his contract up?
I have no idea. I haven't even looked at his contract negotiation. Because really, if you look at it from the human standpoint, they end up saying that I'm hearing from the rumors and spectators saying that Damian Lillard look like he's the villain of the town, of the city, of the team. I was like, why? I asked somebody this. I asked my last co-host this question here, and they saying that Damian Lillard look like he could be the villain of either he leaves Portland, determining is he gonna go going to be a Laker or a Knick. But here's the issue is, if Damian Lillard would have went to the New York Knicks, I understand Kristaps Porzingis don't have a point guard, don't have a wingspan man here and all that, which he's kind of like the wingspan man for a player who's about 6'10", 6'11", through all this and that in the third. And I understand Kristaps Porzingis can ball. If Damian Lillard, if Damian Lillard goes to the Knicks and Kyrie trying to go in through that observation, it won't work. I'm sorry. Because if that was the case, you might have said the Portland Trailblazers and the Los Angeles Lakers go ahead on and end up towards, make a trade right then and there, send Lonzo Ball, Velvet, Brandon Ingram, send those two balls to Portland and send Damian Lillard down to Los Angeles. Do you know how much collateral damage between LeBron James and Damian Lillard would have had? How much collateral damage that's going to be? I will count that as the second best collateral damage. Only thing that had the best collaboration and collateral damage was LeBron and Kyrie. LeBron and Damian Lillard, that's going to be the second best collateral damage.
Okay.
That's how I'm looking at it. That's going to be the second best collateral damage right then and there. Now, that might not have the ultimate collateral damage since Shaq and Kobe, but LeBron and Damian Lillard, that's automatic collateral damage. Everybody know what Dame Lillard could do. Everybody know what LeBron is already going to do. The resume and all the years he played, that's in the resumes that he got. Dame Lillard, when you need him to make a clutch shot, give him the ball with less than a few seconds left. Dame going to make you a game-win shot.
That's a fact.
That's straight point facts. That's why I said by the next free agency summer year, we already know DeMarcus Cousins, he's already in Golden State for 1 year with y'all. Then he's going to dip right then and there because he's on a mid-tax level. And for him to say on y'all end, he going to come back when he's 100% ready.
Yeah, I know that. He'll probably be back.
Now, I don't know how the teammate situation is going to happen between him and Kevin Durant. I don't know how that's going to go down.
That only happened.
No. 50K. You might have didn't see the last.
They was just on the Olympic team for a whole.
Yeah, they was on the Olympic team. But when it comes back to the NBA, all they was at each other's neck here.
For one game, right?
No.
It was for one game. It was for one game, man.
This on situation beef between DeMarcus Cousins and Kevin Durant been at each other's throat for years.
Everyone, the media is trying to make a narrative of it. Everybody wants the narrative to be
media attention
from the inside out. The team, I only got 1% too. My phone about to die too, bro. But it from the inside out that you can basically kill the Trojan horse and. You know, DeMarcus Cousins is going to break them up, and that's why he's only there for a year, and nothing's going to happen. Everything's going to be gel. You know, at the end of the day, man, everybody has to understand it's a competitive sport, man. That's just like saying how is the narrative going to be with Rondo going to L.A. with LeBron and Lance Stevenson, who blew in LeBron's ear when he was in Miami. What's their chemistry going to be like? Are they going to wrestle? Are they going to fight? Why is nobody talking about that? That's years. That's actually a history where there's people that you went to a different team and you were on another team, and both teams that you were on, that one person didn't like you, and you guys never even played on a USA team or practiced or anything like that. These two gentlemen, DeMarcus Cousins and Durant, actually have a love for each other, just like LeBron and Durant.
Oh,
You would see them talking and beefing. Kevin Durant and LeBron really is cool as fuck. Like that's crazy. Like, for people to think like the NBA is different from how it was back in the day, bro. Niggas is getting money. Motherfuckers just want to get bread and break bread. This niggas is on the same, just like how it,
okay, you're about to give me a heart attack right now. What you said right now, oozing out of your mouth, is automatically blasphemous. You should be banned for talking basketball right now. How? That is just disrespectful.
How is it? People try to make the narrative that, oh, when these two guys gonna get together, there's gonna be so much chemistry. Plain and simple, if you don't want to talk blasphemy, let's talk facts. The facts of the matter is, the only thing that they have that actually they were beefing was in that one game where they were like, oh, let's come to the back, let's talk, whatever, when it was New Orleans Pelicans and the Warriors playing each other. Besides that, they never beefed in any other game before that. There was no Twitter talk. There was no nothing. On top of that, they actually played for a whole season overseas where it was hotel rooms and everything else. They could have fought anytime if they really didn't like each other. They didn't do that. We didn't hear nothing about that. We didn't hear nothing about that when they were overseas. That's a fact, okay? Now, the fact also is that no one is even talking about the narrative of why Lance Stephenson may not really have a good bond with LeBron James. Even if you don't want to talk about that, and he did play at different teams and how he blew in his ear when he was at Cleveland and when he was at Miami. Okay, let's talk about Rondo. How Rondo really said, fuck LeBron. Like, really took pictures with fans that said, fuck LeBron. Really was like, I can't stand LeBron. Like, there was a narrative where, you know for a fact, we both know for a fact, Rondo hates LeBron more than DeMarcus Cousins hates Kevin Durant. Is that not true?
That's true, but I'm going to have to
jump. Exactly. I'm going to have to jump to a
conclusion. Listen, hear me out here. This is why I jumps in the conclusion right here. This is where the conclusion, I'm going to jump right into it right now. Everything that you said was 50-50. The other half of the 50% that you did not